D-Mace Finn Gidendonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Islanders tonight at 7. Pregame at 6 right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie, during the break, you received an update on the Predators bracket challenge. Is that right?
I did. I just was asking around a little bit, and it appears that a guy with some Florida ties made the right choices. Steven Stamkos appears to be the winner.
Congratulations!
They do it every year.
Steven
Stamkos. It's fun. It's just like everybody else. We all have our little pools. I finished sixth in mine, if anybody cares. I was not in the Predators one, but I was in. Quite a big one. There's like 50-something people. If Duke had won, I would have been in the top two, maybe won it. I'm not sure. I had a chance to be in a really good spot had Duke not melted down.
Well, you missed this before you came up. We started the show
Petty Dan over here.
Yes. Explaining how petty of a sports fan I am and how much I enjoyed Houston going through it last night. After they did what they did to Duke on Saturday. I was not mad about it.
Yeah, misery loves company.
Exactly.
We call that schadenfreude, taking pleasure in others' suffering.
Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not always. Not always.
But there are certain teams that fit that bill, right, that you kind of like when they lose.
I guess I am that way.
It's usually the team that knocks your team out. You don't want them to.
I will have
but there
to.
Are people that go the other way. They want to say, well, we lost to the eventual champion.
Mm-mm, not me.
Nobody beat them.
I explained that.
We didn't beat them, but nobody beat them.
I explained that.
I kind of go into that club sometimes.
No, I am not in that club. I am in the complete opposite club. But I do want to give a shout out to on Sunday night, All Elite Wrestling had one of its pay-per-view events, and there was a gentleman sitting in the front row, head to toe and North Carolina garb. He had a North Carolina sweatshirt, a North Carolina hat with the unmistakable baby blue color. And he was right there where the action was because he was on the front row. So when the wrestlers would come out of the ring and fight near where the gentleman was sitting, he just had his phone turned sideways and it just said Houston 70, Duke 67 on it, and was just holding it up to the national viewing audience. And it hurt, but I have to give that guy some props.
Twisted the knife.
I have to give that guy some props. That was very clever.
That is the only situation where I am petty like that. If it's Michigan, yes. But if it's anybody else, I really don't care. But if it's Michigan, if Michigan beats my team or we're out of the tournament before Michigan, I'm hoping Michigan lose. Point blank. I don't care what it is. I hope they lose. Do Vandy feel that way about Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see?
I was about to say, does Willie have one of those?
Why are you saying it like that? Like, Vandy don't have enough of
them. Well, I'm just saying that Willie is more, he's more measured than I am, I think, when it comes to my sports fandom. So I feel like
what
Willie
you think,
doesn't.
Vanderbilt don't have a rival.
Not saying they don't.
A rival?
No. I think Vanderbilt. You poll most Vanderbilt fans that
UT?
They. Yeah.
There's the fan.
Their second favorite team is whoever Tennessee's playing.
At the wrestling event, the Carolina fan just holding up the phone to the screen. I'll send that to David James so that he can share it with all of you. All right, so one thing that I was curious about, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday. We were talking about the Athletics Consensus NFL Big Board. And on their latest big board, they had Cam Ward at 12, if I recall correctly. And if you look at other big boards, Cam Ward falls into that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 range in terms of the overall prospect in the NFL draft. At ESPN, ESPN takes its top four NFL draft analysts, Mel Kiper Jr., Jordan Reed, Matt Miller, and Field Yates, and they have a consensus ranking as well. And Cam Ward, his average is 8.8, so he's ninth on this list. Mel Kiper has him at 6, Reed has him at 9, Miller has him at 14, and Field Yates has him at 6. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to look back at the number one overall picks over the past decade, and I wanted to see where those number one picks were on the big boards during their draft year, the final edition of the big boards during their draft year. Now, I landed on using Mel Kiper's. It's a subjective list. The reason why I used Mel Kiper was because he's been doing it a long time. It's relatively easy to find old editions of his big boards. Although, for some reason, I could not find the 2015 big board. It's been wiped from the internet.
He probably bombed that one.
I'm going to assume that it was Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota. I don't know. Of course, Jameis Winston, the number one pick in the 2015 draft. So,
and Marcus was two.
Yes. Yeah. So Cam Ward is currently number 6 on Mel Kiper's big board. One behind Shedeur Sanders, I might add. Mel Kiper likes Shedeur Sanders more than he likes Cam Ward. So the top 6 on Mel Kiper's latest big board: Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Mason Graham, Ashton Jeanty, Shedeur Sanders, and Cam Ward. So Cam Ward is number 6. And there are going to be more editions of this big board.
So Mel Kiper has Shedeur Sanders at number 5.
He likes Shedeur Sanders more than Cam Ward. He has Shedeur Sanders as his quarterback 1.
I don't know how many others that I have seen that have.
I think he believes
Sanders over Ward
is a more polished quarterback. You're seeing more of a polished quarterback that can come in and start immediately.
Here's what he wrote about Shedeur Sanders. You won't find a tougher or more resilient quarterback prospect than Sanders, who took 99 sacks over the past 2 seasons but still put up really strong numbers. I'm always impressed watching him throw on the move, rolling either left or right. He is very accurate in those spots and has the arm to drive the ball. When his mechanics and footwork are sound, he can pick apart a defense. And while he's not necessarily a major rushing threat, he can keep the chains moving with his legs when there is an opening. So that was Mel Kiper on Shedeur Sanders. So I went back and just pulled up the final editions of Mel Kiper's big boards over the past 10 years, minus 2015. And I wanted to see where the number one picks in those drafts were on Mel Kiper's final big boards. So last season, for example, Caleb Williams, the number one pick in the draft, he was the number one player on Mel Kiper's big board, the final edition. Bryce Young in 2023, the number one pick in the draft, number 2 on the big board. Jalen Carter was number 1 on his final big board in 2023, but Jalen Carter was a bit of a complicated prospect, right? Was dealing with some off-the-field issues.
Well, one big one. Yes. He was the drag racing. There was a tragic accident. He was right in the middle of it, and that definitely dropped him down.
Yes. So Jalen Carter was number 1 on the big board. Bryce Young was number 2, but Bryce Young went number 1 overall. In 2022, Trayvon Walker was number 9 on Mel Kiper's final big board, despite going number 1 overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence in 2021, number 1 pick, number 1 on the big board. Easy peasy. 2020, Joe Burrow, number 2 on the big board. Number 1 overall pick, Chase Young, was number 1 on the big board, the final edition in 2020. Kyler Murray, you mentioned Kyler Murray, number 1 pick in 2019.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Number 6 on the final big board by Mel Kiper Jr. By the way, I'm pulling up the players that were ahead of Kyler Murray in 2019. Nick Bosa was number 1. Quinnen Williams, number 2. Devin White, number 3. Josh Allen, the linebacker. Josh Hines Allen now. Number 4. Devin Bush, number 5. Kyler Murray, number 6. So Murray was number 6 on the final big board, number 1 overall pick. 2018, this is what gets interesting. Baker Mayfield, the number 1 pick, number 12. On Mel Kiper's final big board before the 2018 draft. Myles Garrett, number 1 overall pick, number 1 on the big board. Jared Goff, number 1 pick, number 5 on the big board. 2014, Jadeveon Clowney, number 1 pick, number 1 on the big board. So Cam Ward on Mel Kiper's current big board is number 6. But it's something that we've heard from Titans fans a lot, right? That Cam Ward is the 8th best prospect, the 9th best prospect, the 10th best prospect, according to all of the gurus. So how can the Titans feel good about taking the 10th best prospect with the number 1 overall pick? So looking at the past decade, just according to Mel Kiper, it's a subjective list, of course, a lot of them are on par. Caleb Williams was number 1 and number 1. Bryce Young was the number 1 pick. He was number 2 on the big board. Trevor Lawrence, number 1, number 1. The two that stand out are Kyler Murray was number 6 on the big board in 2019, and Baker Mayfield was number 12 on the big board in 2018.
I think what it is, because I don't know, because there is this sort of quarterback tax where, you know, the quarterback gets elevated, what, maybe 2-3 spots, you know, outside of what you're thinking. So maybe Mel Kiper did factor that in. Maybe he didn't, because he didn't factor it in with Kyler Murray, nor did he factor it in with Baker Mayfield.
By the way, on that final big board in Baker Mayfield's draft year, he was the fourth quarterback on that big board. Josh Allen was 5. Sam Darnold was 6. Josh Rosen was 10. Not a proud moment for a lot of people when it comes to Josh Rosen.
So, I mean, you know, it's all about preference. Two things are working sort of, it could be in working against the Titans, and it could be working for the Titans. One, and the most glaring, is they need a quarterback. That's the most glaring. They need a quarterback. And two, there seems to be, on either side, there seems to be a distinct difference in how many are grading Cam Ward and are grading Shedeur Sanders and or the rest of them behind him.
Right. Like, let me pull back up the consensus big boards from the ESPN draft analyst that I just read. So Mel Kiper has him at 6. Jordan Reed has him at 9. Matt Miller has him at 14. Field Yates has him at 6. So you have two people who have him at 6 and one who has him at 14. Now, I haven't seen the rest of Miller's list. Mm-hmm. But again, you look at some of the other prospects. Travis Hunter, across the board, 1-1-2-1. Abdul Carter, 2-2-1-2. Mason Graham, 3-3-4-3. Ashton Jeanty, 4-4-3-4. That's pretty steady.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the differences of opinion for Cam Ward.
But yet, every oddsmaker site
knows
that Cam Ward will be the first pick.
Right.
So it's not like the Titans are crazy for thinking this way. It's just, it's not a perfect world, right? I understand the fans' dilemma. I think we all would wish that if your team is going to pick first, that you have Shaquille O'Neal, that it's 100% he's the first pick. But not every year is like that. It's like, no. You know, not every year Connor McDavid comes out of the draft.
Right,
like sometimes you get those guys, and some years it's much more cloudy, and you don't have that clear-cut guy who happens to play the position you need the most.
Right. The Predators fans, we've been talking a lot about this with Titans fans. Predators fans are going to be in this position in a couple of months. The Predators are going to have a top pick in the NHL draft. You all hope it's the number one pick in the NHL draft. And you can't pick when you're going to be bad, right? Do Predators fans wish that this was the year that Connor Bedard was coming out or Macklin Celebrini was coming out or the next Austin Matthews was coming out? Yes, but same thing that we've talked about with Titans fans. I bet Titans fans really wish that they would have had this season a year ago when they could have picked Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Drake May. That's just not how it works out sometimes.
Yep. But it's just what to do about it, right? And we've been talking about it for weeks and weeks. We'll talk about it right up to the day. But I know it's not perfect to sit, because I've said it. If he's not clearly worthy of the first pick, is it worth trading out? But it looks less and less. It looks like the consensus is nobody is willing to give up assets to go get Cam Ward. So you're left with the dilemma. And it also has to do with, do you think that Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter are that good? And I don't know if everybody thinks that they're, you know, off the charts, can't miss future Hall of Famer kind of talents.
Even if you remove Abdul Carter's injury situation, even if he were 100% healthy,
but I don't really feel that. Yeah. You know, I think they're both very good prospects for sure. But does it outweigh taking a quarterback that seems to have a high floor? And that is, if that's what you believe of Cam Ward, and I trust Tim Hasselbeck with these kind of things, the ceiling is pretty good, worthy of a first-round pick, not ideal for your first overall pick, but a high floor,
then okay. Like, I mean, that's if that is the best of all your options, then that's what you do.
Listen, neither one of these guys, let's just say the top three or four guys, neither one of these guys, because people are saying, well, Cam Ward's not worthy of the number one pick, so don't draft him. Well, I don't think anybody feels that Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter's worth the number one pick because ain't nobody trying to make a move up past Cleveland or the Giants. I think the Giants had a third pick to try to get up there to potentially take one of those guys in fear that the other guys will take them. So, again, what are we trying to get here? Because these four guys, you put them in last year's draft, they would not be in the top four or five when you start ranking players. The person that may get the closest is Travis Hunter because he does it on both sides of the ball.
We think.
We think. Or the year before that. Why? Because it was a quarterback-heavy draft, okay? So those guys wouldn't have been first-round picks, and they might have not have been first, you know, worthy of the first pick overall in other drafts. So if you don't believe Cam Ward's worth the number one pick, everybody else in the league is telling you they don't believe any one of these guys are worthy of the number one pick. Why? Because they're not trying to move up to the Titans. They're not trying to move up to number one to try to get them. So you either – you are hell-bent on getting an elite quarterback, or will you say, okay, let me get a franchise quarterback first in hopes that he can turn into or develop into an elite quarterback?
615-737-1025. Again, I just presented Mel Kiper's final big boards over the years. I wanted to see where he had them. He had the number one overall picks in each of those years. Again, it's an unscientific exercise. It's a subjective exercise. Mel Kiper's been in the game a long time. It's easy to find his big boards floating around the internet, except for 2015 for some reason. And I really looked. 615-737-1025. How do you feel about the Titans potentially drafting a player who many of these draft analysts believe might be the 8th best, 9th best, 10th best, 11th best, 12th best prospect overall in the draft? 615-737-1025. The Atlanta Braves country road trip is coming to town and teaming up with the Predators and 102.5 The Game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge right here in Bridgestone Arena next Wednesday, April 16th, for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. There will be free giveaways like hats and t-shirts, plus you could win autographed baseballs and free Braves tickets to a game of your choice. Also, the first 15 people in the door will win a pair of Preds tickets to that night's game, which is the season finale. So, as I pulled away from that page, for more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan here with you. If you want an opportunity to win tickets to see Jason Aldean at Bridgestone Arena, I'll give you how exactly you can do that at the end of this segment. But I wanted to get people's reaction to the discrepancy between where the Titans are planning to take Cam Ward and his overall ranking among draft analysts. Again, you read any sort of list, The Athletic, ESPN, there are others. Just rankings of the prospects, and Cam Ward is somewhere in the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 range. Mel Kiper has him at 6. Matt Miller of ESPN has him at 14. It ranges widely. Chad on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I feel like the Cam Ward discourse locally is much colder than what other fan bases view it as. It feels like our fan base still needs to be talked into it while others look at it from the outside as the obvious slash only choice. Really strange. Now, I imagine part of that, to Chad's point, is Titans fans, they listen to our station, they follow the team more closely than what people outside of Nashville do. So Titans fans have a skepticism, and understandably so, about the front office and ownership, the people making decisions. So I do think that plays into it as well, that perhaps the Titans fan base still needs to be talked into it just because of how poorly things have gone around here in recent years.
Well, they don't trust the franchise. That's basically what it boils down to, because if you had any trust and belief in the franchise, then you wouldn't be questioning whether they're going to make the right decision or not. Because if you had trust in this franchise, you wouldn't question if they were going to draft Cam Ward at number one. You just didn't question that. But because just like I don't think, you know, many question, you know, the franchise when they drafted Marcus Mariota 2 overall. They felt they had trust in the franchise. I believe they did. So no one questioned that. But then that made up the evaluation was a little bit different then. But if you trust your franchise, then you trust that they're going to do or they're going to evaluate the proper way and they're going to draft the best guy. If it's Cam Ward, then it's Cam Ward. This is not about Cam Ward. This is about the organization. Because if you are Kansas City, and say if Kansas City wanted to draft Cam Ward, let's just say Cam Ward, that fan base trust that organization.
Yes.
Why? Because they've seen the fruits of their past drafts and moves in free agency.
I do think it's interesting, and you mentioned this earlier, Derek, this idea that there are a lot of Titans fans who distrust this front office. But then again, I'm sure if you did one of those Venn diagrams, right, with the two circles converging, there might be a group of Titans fans that say, I distrust this organization, but I'm not sure I really believe they're actually going to take the number one pick, and Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker are just fooling everybody. I feel like it can't be both.
I think because, and this is no diss to Titans fans that sit there and they watch the Titans each and every week and they cheer for their team and they're passionate about their team. But I'm going to put myself in this boat with y'all. 99% of us don't have the experience to really look at Cam Ward and say he's not worthy of the number one pick. And I'm throwing Jared in that boat with us, too.
That's an interesting boat.
We don't have the experience to know whether he is the number one, like, by his play. Because if I'm just looking at his play, yeah, he's worthy of the number one pick. But obviously, it's deeper than that, you know. So when we get our calls or when, oh, he's not worthy of the number one pick. No, just say you don't trust the franchise. Say that. And I'm with you with that in regards to trusting the franchise. Why? Because the franchise in recent years haven't given the fan base anything to trust on. Now, this regime may be different. So I'm going to let it all play out. But I think a lot of fans, and rightfully so, they are stuck on, what has this organization done to really change what's going on? Nothing. We can't trust you.
What kind of boat are we talking about here?
It's a nice boat.
Is it a yacht, a super yacht?
It's just a big yacht. I don't want anybody to, you know, die or anything, man. So it's a nice boat that's going to carry us all. Okay. But we're all in it together.
Like the White Lotus that took the boat over to the island?
Yes. One of those.
That was
boats.
A nice boat. That is a nice boat.
Exactly.
Some weird stuff happened on that boat.
Minus the weird stuff. Minus the weird stuff.
Some very strange stuff happened on that boat. One tester says, the organization is not straightforward about anything. If they are putting on a show, it's one thing, but to call Cam Ward a franchise quarterback but not listen to trade offers does not make any logical sense.
But they are listening to trade offers. They've been listening to trade offers for weeks, for months.
I'm sorry. I said but to listen, not to listen.
Okay. This is what I want.
I think what the texter's point is – sorry, Derek. Uh-huh. I think the texter's point is, you know, if they really believe that Cam Ward is a franchise quarterback, why are they listening to trade offers? It should be that simple.
But what would you have them do? That's my question back to them. Like, this is a dilemma that is out of their control.
I think Jared has brought up the example of Joe Burrow's draft year. The Dolphins were reportedly hot and heavy on Joe Burrow and were trying to make a trade, and the Bengals were like, nah, we're not doing it. Basically, it's like if Cam Ward were on that level to the Titans, why would they entertain?
Because he's not on that level.
But how many quarterbacks have been on that level?
Very few.
Number one overall.
Very few.
Listen, I think
I go to the 1985 lottery in the NBA draft. The Knicks already had Patrick Ewing's jersey, and I'm sure all the teams in that lottery was the first time they had the lottery. They all had a Ewing jersey. There was not even any discussion who the first pick was going to be. This is not one of those times.
No, this is not one of those times.
And that's not the Titans' fault.
And we haven't had a draft, we don't have many drafts like that, where it's just, when it comes to a quarterback, it's just a consensus. My thing is this. They, to me, it's pointing toward them drafting Cam Ward. But even if I know I'm going to draft Cam Ward, if somebody comes to me with a deal that I have never, I don't think nobody's stupid enough to come to me with a deal like that. But they come to you with a deal like that.
Right.
Are you not then supposed to say, whoa,
I want to show conviction.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you not supposed to say, whoa.
That word is banned, by the way.
Yeah. Let me bag this up for a minute. So you're willing to give me this, and that for my number one pick? Okay, maybe we need to talk about some things. But anything short of that, no, this is my guy. I'm going to draft him.
Michael is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Michael, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Okay, I want to speak for everyone who y'all are saying things like they're some maniacal genius. They're not. It's just business. You hype it up, and then you unload it. So when I sell something, I'll put it on Marketplace. I'll wait 3 days, and then I post it sold. Then I bring it back 2 weeks later. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's just a marketing scheme. They're not geniuses, obviously, because they would have got it right 10 years ago. Also, the trade we're looking to make is trade to third for the Giants' second and third-round pick this year. That's it. Just trade the two first-round picks, swap them, get a second and a third this year. We take Jackson Dart. We got two second-round picks and a third-round pick. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for the call. And you know what? It's funny to me. And this is not picking on Michael. Thank you for the call, Michael. It's always interesting. And this happens in all leagues, right? People become, for lack of a better word, obsessed with certain prospects. Oh, Jackson Dart. Oh, Tyler Shuck. Oh, we should have him as our quarterback. It's like, if you have questions about Cam Ward, aren't there more questions about Jackson Dart? If you're not convinced that Cam Ward is a franchise quarterback, what makes Jackson Dart a franchise quarterback?
So, and that leads me to, what do you want here? Do you want an elite quarterback, or do you want a franchise quarterback that could potentially be an elite quarterback? Because there's not many guys that come out and become, they were labeled as elite and they became elite. There's not many guys that come out, but there are more guys that come out that, you know, teams believe they are franchise quarterbacks, and they end up turning into elite quarterbacks.
Right, like I saw a report the other day. I can't remember where, so I apologize. It was about Jalen Milroe. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about Jalen Milroe getting an invitation to the green room at the NFL draft. Where they put the prospects they know are going to get drafted. And I remember one of the people saying they don't want a Will Levis situation, right? They don't want someone sitting there waiting for their name to be called, and it doesn't get called, and it's hella awkward. But you will hear people say, oh, Jalen Milroe. Oh, Quinn Ewers. Oh, Jackson Dart. We should trade down and get Jackson Dart. That doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't solve the issue at quarterback. Cam Ward is, despite his faults, he is a better quarterback prospect than all of those players. And I know that it's different when you use a third-round pick on the quarterback versus when you use the first overall pick on the quarterback. But I still have more faith in Cam Ward. If I'm just looking at the prospects in this draft, I have more faith in Cam Ward to be able to do it than Jackson Dart.
But I guess what the caller was throwing out there is if you could drop to three and you still get, in theory, the second-best quarterback prospect, whoever you think that is, and you get a couple extra picks, what's the difference? What's the difference in prospect level in their own evaluation of the quarterback they select and Cam Ward? Because the extra picks are important. They've made, and this has been Jared's thing that he's been pounding home every day,
And I tend to agree with them philosophically that they have said, we want more picks. This is the way we have to build our roster back. It's the only way they're going to become a contender is to draft well every year. And right now, they do not have enough picks to do that. So they're looking for ways to do it. It just may not work out real well. But if Cam Ward is better than the value of just an extra second and an extra third, or whatever that price would be to move down two slots, then that's what they have to weigh. How much more do they like Ward than the second best quarterback prospect, if that's what they want?
By the way, on Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, he has Shedeur Sanders at 9 to New Orleans, Jackson Dart at 26 to the Los Angeles Rams, Tyler Shuck at the top of the second round to Cleveland, and Jalen Milroe at 34 to the Giants.
You wouldn't pick those guys in the first round.
No.
You would. I think you would be passing on the quarterback position for a year if you wanted to move down to 3, and then you take Carter or Hunter, in theory. That would be my thought, and just say we're going to table the quarterback thing for a year.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this. I also want to address something about Cam Ward. There is a comparison for Cam Ward that I've heard a lot, and I want to ask if we should be careful making this comparison, and we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. I told you about Jason Aldean. Let me tell you how to win tickets to see Jason Aldean. Text in the keyword Jason, J-A-S-O-N. Make sure I can spell it right. J-A-S-O-N to 615-737-1025. And you will receive a link to sign up for a chance to win all-inclusive tickets to the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Jason Aldean, plus a chance to win $1,000 cash. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Islanders tonight at 7 o'clock. Willie, Andrew Burnett still out?
Yes. Todd Richards will be the acting head coach for a second straight game as Andrew Burnett continues to deal with a family matter.
Okay. So Todd Richards will be behind the bench for the Predators tonight against the Islanders. Pre-game at 6, Barry Trotz joining Jarrett Stillman at 5 o'clock, as usual, right here at this desk, if I'm not mistaken. If I am, Jarrett will certainly text me. So I've been reading a lot of these comparisons lately. Jared actually talked about it on his show yesterday. And I'm wondering if we need to be careful when we compare Cam Ward to Steve McNair. And I'm not picking on Nick Suss of the Tennessean here. He wrote a really good story with the headline, Air McNair, H-E-I-R. Air McNair. Experts offer comparisons of Cam Ward, Tennessee Titans legend, Steve McNair. Nick Suss writes in part, quote, all indications point toward Miami quarterback Cam Ward being the Tennessee Titans' primary target with the number one pick in the 2025 NFL draft, which begins on April 24th. Side note, mercifully, a confident, prolific, big-armed passer who started his five-year college career as a zero-star recruit in the FCS. Ward's profile doesn't match those of recent number one picks like Caleb Williams or Bryce Young, but in some ways it does resemble that of another early Titans draft pick. And a quote from Phil Sims, I think when I saw him, I've got to admit, body was the first thing. I go, God, he looks like Steve McNair. Emery Hunt, analyst and writer at CBS Sports and Football Game Plan, quote, when Cam took the field at Incarnate Word, I was like, wow, he looks a lot like Steve McNair. Because of the different arm angles, the calmness but arrogance within the pocket, like, man, I could stay here all day. Somebody's going to break open and I can get them the football. I remember, Derek, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I don't think you were on the show that day, Willie. But I was reading an analysis of Cam Ward from Nate Tice at Yahoo Sports, who referred to Cam Ward as a Diet Coke version of Steve McNair. And I think it might be a little too easy, considering where we are, to make that comparison. I'm just wondering, Derek, considering how revered Steve McNair is here and how important he was to the Titans franchise, if we need to be careful comparing Cam Ward to Steve McNair.
Let's just go by the numbers in college. And I know that they were not playing in the same sort of class or division. I get it. But what are you comparing? Because Steve McNair was more of a dual threat quarterback than anything. Hell of an arm. His ability to escape out of the pocket, his ability to run when he needed to. He was a horse of a guy to bring down.
Yes.
Nobody says that about Cam Ward. Nobody talks about him being a prolific runner, not only just a passer, but a runner as well. Nobody's talking about Cam Ward in that way. They have talked about other quarterbacks, Jackson and the likes, of being in sort of that mode, and they didn't compare them to Steve McNair, or maybe they did. So because Cam Ward doesn't possess those traits, can he become Steve McNair? Yes, there's a possibility he can become Steve McNair. But don't you want him to be greater than that? In a sense, you not only want him to sort of be that, you want him to be even more, especially in today's landscape of quarterbacks that's within your, the AFC. What are you measuring outside of the obvious? What are you measuring to say, though, that's Steve McNair? The obvious, yeah, he's built, he may be built like Steve McNair, but outside of that, I don't think his play resembles Steve McNair, not one bit.
Let me read a little bit more of this article from Nick Suss. These comparisons, quote, these comparisons usually come with some caveats. First, people say Ward isn't the kind of runner McNair was when he was an MVP and Super Bowl starter for the Titans. Then they make some forensic distinctions. McNair was thicker, his hands were bigger, he played a more physical brand. But the comparison has some grounding, and it's not just because the Titans are in position to pick him. Hunt says the idea popped in his head as early as 2021, when Ward was a freshman at the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, putting up unfathomable stats in a COVID-truncated spring season. Hunt made the comparison publicly in August 2022 before Ward had taken an FBS snap. Ward's combination of confidence navigating a pocket, arm talent that translates to being able to make throws all across the field, and a knack for cranking into high gear late in games are the bedrock of the McNair comparison. The fact that he began at a college most NFL fans haven't heard of, like McNair at Alcorn State, only aids the discussion.
But again, I could say that about three or four other quarterbacks. I can say that about three or four other quarterbacks out there.
Shedeur Sanders started at Jackson State.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you? He's more so of a, you know, if you want to sort of, you know, put that in a mold, he and Cam are more so the same quarterback than Cam and Steve McNair, again, because neither one of those guys are the dual threat that Steve McNair was. And it didn't just start with that Super Bowl year and that MVP year. That was him in college. They wanted to get him out of it in the NFL, you know, because they didn't want him to take the pounding and the beating that he ultimately took. So, again, when you look at Steve McNair coming out and Cam Ward coming out, there's no comparison other than the obvious, because I think their game is different. Now, again, can he morph into Steve? You know, yeah, there's a possibility he can. I just don't think you – I guess you can try to, you know, bring it all together and tie it all together however you want.
It seems like a stretch.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to really say.
I just haven't had that thought. I guess I need to read the article a little bit closer. I think I need to maybe watch Cam Ward play more. Maybe I'll feel different when I watch. Like if they draft
but now
him,
it's in your head now. So but, you sort of distorted now anyway.
Well, we had a texter
earlier
in the show.
It's a bias there now anyway.
Caught my attention by saying Cam Ward reminds him of Kyler Murray. And that's way different. Yeah. Kyler Murray and Steve McNair are really unique quarterbacks in very different ways, right? Kyler Murray is just a little water bug that is an incredible thrower, incredible athlete, and can run. We pointed out many times. Cam Ward has not been a prolific runner of the ball. Kyler Murray and Steve McNair were outstanding and in the case of Murray, continues to be an effective runner with the ball. I haven't seen that from Ward. His stats certainly wouldn't show you that at any of his stops, and there are three of them in the college ranks. The other thing about McNair, what made Steve McNair great? I mean, he was a great athlete, but his competitiveness, his edge, his intangibles off the charts. That is why I would have to be very, very careful. And look, maybe Cam Ward's got that. I hope he does. That would be great. I don't know if you can predict that until you see it, because Steve McNair was kind of in a category of his own with that area, that toughness, that competitiveness, that will. I'm going to get us down the field. I don't know how I'm going to do it. If I have to run it, I'll do it. If I have to wrestle myself out of a tackle, if I have to take a hit, like those are things that you cannot, it's hard to project. And so when you start making that comparison, you got to be careful because it's not fair to Cam Ward, really.
615-737-1025. Should we be careful comparing Cam Ward to Steve McNair? Do you see elements of Steve McNair in Cam Ward? 615-737-1025. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Charity Open. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, I should say. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.